I want to start this deep dive with a word that, usually just shuts down a conversation.
Placebo.
It is a loaded word,
It's
isn't it?
huge. In our culture, if I tell you that a remedy is just a placebo, what am I actually saying? I'm saying it's fake.
It's a lie.
I'm saying it's a lie, that any relief you feel is, well, it's imaginary. We treat the placebo effect as this nuisance variable that scientists have to get rid of to prove that a real medicine works.
Right. We set up this binary. Medicine is science. Placebo is a trick. It's an illusion played on a gullible mind.
But today, we're flipping that completely on its head. We've been reading this fascinating guide by a therapist named Clint Matheny. It's titled, How to Make Your Own Placebo. And the premise here is provocative because it suggests we've been looking at this all wrong. Matheny argues that the placebo effect isn't a trick, it's a biological capability. It's a tool.
A tool you can learn to control.
Exactly, a tool you can control.
Yeah, the whole mission for this deep dive is to move the placebo effect out of the illusion category and into the skills category.
Okay.
And Matheny isn't just theorizing here. He's adapting a very specific protocol. It's called the automatic self-healing method. This comes from the work of Conaray and Steve Andreas in their book Heart of the Mind, which is, well, it's a staple in neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP.
And just to be clear for everyone listening, this isn't think positive thoughts and hope for the best.
No, not at all.
We aren't talking about affirmations in the mirror. We are going to walk through a literal mental procedure, step by step, that claims to rewrite how your brain processes a physical injury.
It's essentially a code rewrite for your immune system. It's about changing the instructions the brain is sending to the body.
But before we get to the how-tos, and we will get very granular on that, we have to establish the is this even possible? And Matheny, he opens with this personal story that honestly, I struggled to wrap my head around at first.
Yeah.
It feels like something out of a movie.
It is a radical anecdote, but it sets the stakes very, very high for what's possible. So let's set the scene. It's 1990. Matheny is in a severe accident. He absolutely shatters his right ankle. And we are not talking a hairline fracture here. This is surgery, metal, stitches, a major trauma to the whole structure of his leg.
The body is in absolute crisis mode. You've got inflammation, pain signals firing. I mean, the
Like,
works.
so he has the surgery, and the day after, while he's laying there in, I'm assuming, significant pain,
Oh, for sure.
he decides to test this abbreviated healing procedure he had been studying. He runs this mental exercise, this placebo protocol, on himself.
Which in itself takes a lot of discipline. Most people in post-surgical pain are just, reaching for the morphine button.
Right, or trying to sleep.
Yeah, exactly. To actively engage your mind in a complex visualization like that while in that state is really
It
impressive.
is. But he does the mental work. He runs the program. Then he just rests. 2 weeks later, he goes back to the orthopedic surgeon for his checkup. And this interaction is what's key. The surgeon takes the cast off and gets angry.
Confused and angry, yeah. Which is not a reaction you usually want from a doctor.
He accuses Matheny of not coming in when he was told. He looks at the ankle and says, "You were supposed to come in 2 weeks after surgery." And Matheny says, "It has been 2 weeks." The doctor essentially calls him a liar.
Because the physical evidence didn't match the timeline, the doctor looked at the stitches and, based on his years of training, seeing thousands of ankles, he determined they looked like they had been healing for over a month.
Over a month.
Yeah, the tissue repair was just too advanced. He actually had to go pull the chart to verify the date because his brain couldn't reconcile what he was seeing with what he knew to be true.
He's pulling out stitches that are completely healed, just shaking his head, totally baffled.
And that is why we're talking about this. That story grounds it in reality. This wasn't Matheny just saying, I feel better or my pain is lower, which is all subjective.
Right.
This was biological acceleration. His brain sent a command to the immune system to repair tissue at a rate that just defied standard medical expectations.
Okay, so let's break down what actually happened there. Matheny defines a placebo as a belief. But belief is such a fuzzy word, It sounds soft. What does he actually mean by that, mechanically?
He means a specific set of instructions that you give to your autonomic nervous system. See, we tend to think healing just happens.
Right, you get a cut, your body fixes it.
But the body relies on the brain to prioritize where resources go. A placebo is essentially a priority one clearance for healing. It's the CEO of the company, your brain telling the factory floor, your body, drop everything else, fix this ankle now.
But Matthew also points out that this whole mechanism isn't always benevolent. There's a dark side to this belief system.
Oh, yeah. The sword cuts both ways.
The nocebo effect.
The nocebo effect. This is so crucial to understand if you want to get why the placebo works. If the placebo is the brain turning on the healing jets, the nocebo is the brain slamming on the brakes. Or worse, it's manufacturing symptoms that shouldn't even be there.
And he uses the sugar pill example again here to illustrate this, doesn't he?
He does. It's a classic study setup. You give people a sugar pill, zero active ingredients, but you tell them, warning, this pill often causes severe nausea, dizziness, and headaches.
And people get sick.
A statistically significant number of people will physically vomit, get dizzy, or break out in a sweat. Their brain expects the toxicity, so it produces the symptoms of toxicity. It creates a physical reality from a mental expectation.
Matheny actually extends this to the doctor's office in a way that just made me cringe. He talks about the informed consent process.
It's a real double-edged sword. When a surgeon sits you down and legally has to list every possible complication, infection, failure to heal, chronic pain.
All the scary stuff.
All of it. They are doing their legal duty, but biologically, they are maybe inadvertently programming a nocebo effect.
That's terrifying. It's like they're installing malware on your hard drive right before you try to boot up the system.
That is the perfect analogy. The patient hears danger, complication, failure. The brain tags the upcoming surgery as a threat event instead of a repair event. This floods the system with stress hormones like cortisol. And we know cortisol suppresses the immune system. So the prophecy kind of fulfills itself. The patient is stressed, so they heal slower, which of course causes more stress.
Okay, so if we accept that the brain is this programmable operating system and it's constantly getting code, either heal fast or freak out and suffer, the question is, how do we get access to the keyboard? How did Matheny make his ankle heal in half the time?
It all comes down to understanding how we file data in our minds. Matheny distinguishes between two types of coding, automatic and major.
Automatic and major. Let's break those down because this is the core concept.
Okay. Think of a paper cut or a small bruise on your shin. When you get a paper cut, what is your internal monologue?
There isn't one. I swear I put a Band-Aid on it, and I probably don't think about it again until I wash my hands and it stings for a time.
Exactly. You have zero doubt. You possess an unconscious certainty that it will heal. Your brain has a background process running that says, minor damage, execute auto repair, no conscious intervention needed. It's boring. It's automatic.
Can I lose sleep over it?
Not at all. And major.
Major is when you break a bone or get a cancer diagnosis.
Chronic back pain. In these cases, the certainty is gone. You're filled with fear. You're constantly checking it. Is it getting worse? What if it never heals? What did the doctor say?
You're obsessing. You're constantly poking the bear.
You are coding it as a crisis.
Bah.
And paradoxically, that obsession and fear signals the brain to keep the body in a high alert, high inflammation state. And that often hinders the actual repair work because the body is too busy managing the stress response.
So the logic of the automatic self-healing method is to take the major injury, that shattered ankle, and trick the brain into filing it in the paper cut folder.
Precisely. You want to drag and drop the file. You want to strip the crisis coding off the injury and replace it with automatic coding. You want your brain to look at a shattered ankle and say, oh, I know this one, just a scratch. Run the standard repair script.
That sounds great in theory, but, you know, don't worry about it. It's easier said than done. If I'm in pain, I can't just wish it away.
And that's why he gives us a protocol. It's not about wishing. It's about structural changes and how you visualize. There are 7 steps. And I want to go through these slowly because the nuance is really in the details.
Agreed. And we should reiterate his disclaimer. This is complimentary. Matheny is not saying don't go to the doctor.
No, absolutely not.
He had surgery for his ankle. He had a cast. The method is for accelerating the healing, not replacing the medical intervention.
Right. Software needs hardware. You can't code a broken bone back together without a doctor setting it first.
Okay, let's get into the steps. Step 1, define the evidence.
This is about target setting. Matheny asks, how will you know you are healed? Most people define healing by what they don't feel. I won't have pain.
Right.
But the brain processes positives better than negatives. So you need a concrete marker. I will be able to walk to the mailbox. The skin will look pink and smooth. You know, I will be able to lift this coffee cup.
Okay, so I need a clear destination. Step 2 is where we start the mental engineering. Find a reference memory.
This is where you access that automatic code we talked about. You need to find a memory where your body did exactly what it was supposed to do. A cut from childhood, a scrape, a time you recovered from a cold, a time where you knew you would get better.
So I'm accessing the feeling of certainty.
You are accessing the data structure of certainty. We need to see how your brain represents a solved problem.
Okay, step three, visualize that healing process. So I'm picturing, say, a scraped knee from when I was 7. I remember falling off my bike.
Right. You bring that image up in your mind's eye. Now, hold it there. This brings us to step 4, and this is the most technical part of the deep dive. This is the concept of submodalities.
Yeah, this term comes from NLP. It sounds intimidating. What exactly are submodalities?
It's actually very intuitive once you try it. Think of your brain as a movie director or a video editor. When it stores a memory, it doesn't just store the content, the bike, the knee. It makes editing choices.
Mm.
Is the memory in color or black and white? Is it a panoramic shot or a close-up? Is it bright or dim? Is there sound? Is it moving or a still photo?
And Mathany says these editing choices, these submodalities, are actually the code.
Yes, they're the metadata. They tell the brain how to feel about the memory. For example, for many people, memories that feel distant or resolved appear smaller, dimmer, or further away visually.
Okay.
And memories that are urgent or traumatic often appear huge, bright, and right in your face.
Okay, so let's try this. If I'm thinking of that scraped knee, that automatic healing, Mathany says I need to analyze how I'm seeing it.
Right. So ask yourself, that scraped knee, look at the picture in your mind. Is it a movie or a still picture?
For me, it's a little movie. It's playing on a loop. I can see myself getting up.
Okay. Is it in color?
Yes, but kind of faded, like an old photo from the 80s.
Where is it located in space? Is it right in front of your nose or is it 5 feet away?
It feels down, like I'm looking down at it. And maybe 3 feet away.
Yeah.
To the left.
Okay. So your brain's code for no big deal automatic healing is movie plus faded color plus down plus left plus 3 feet away. That is your formula. That's the file extension for healing.
I see where this is going. Step 5 is visualizing the current problem, the thing that is stressing me out.
Exactly. Now bring up the image of your current injury. Let's say it's that sprained wrist or chronic back pain. How does that look? Don't change it yet. Just observe.
Okay. Well, immediately it feels different. It's huge. It's taking up my whole field of vision. It's very bright, high contrast, and it's static. It's just this frozen image of pain. It's right here in front of my face.
There's the mismatch. Your brain has coded this as huge plus bright plus close plus static. That is the code for emergency or stuck. As long as the image looks like that, your autonomic nervous system is going to react with stress, cortisol, and inflammation. It thinks the tiger is in the room.
So step 6 is the switch.
This is the manual override. You are going to take that huge, bright, static image of your current injury, and you are going to force it to change. You are going to push it 3 feet away. You are going to look down at it. You're going to fade the colors.
You're going to turn it into a little movie.
Turn it into a little movie. Move it to the left.
I'm literally editing the video in my head to match the scraped knee format.
Yes. And this is the wildest part of Mathany's claim. He argues that the brain is associative. If you present the data in the format of automatic healing, the brain essentially says, oh, my mistake, I filed this wrong, and switches over to the parasympathetic healing response. You are tricking your biological operating system into running the auto repair script on a file that was flagged as critical error.
Does it happen instantly? Or is this something you have to grind out?
The switch in the image takes focus, but once you lock it in, Mathany describes a physical sensation. He says most people feel a tingling in the body or a sudden wave of relaxation.
That's the shift.
That's the software installing. But there is one final step, step 7, that I think trips people up because it sounds a bit sci-fi. He calls it, essentially, time travel.
Yeah, this is where I got skeptical. Go back to your birth. Walk us through this.
Yeah.
Why do I need to imagine being a baby to fix my ankle?
It sounds esoteric, but in this context, it's about integration. If you just do the switch once, your conscious mind knows you did it. But your unconscious mind, the part that controls your blood flow and immune cells, might just treat it as a temporary thought, a fleeting fancy.
So how does the visualization help with that?
You visualize yourself going back to the beginning of your life, carrying this new healing code, this ability to heal the current injury easily. Then you fast forward through your entire life, year by year, imagining that you always had this capability. You're rewriting your own narrative history.
So you're convincing your identity that I am a person who heals this easily.
Exactly. By the time you arrive back at the present moment in your visualization, the healing response doesn't feel like a trick you just pulled. It feels like a fundamental trait of who you are. It reduces the cognitive dissonance. It tells the deep brain, this is who we are. We heal this.
And then you check your work.
Right. Matheny suggests checking in the next day. If the anxiety about the injury has returned, or if the pain hasn't shifted, it means the old code crept back in. The huge plus bright image returned. So you simply repeat the process. It's a practice, not necessarily a one-shot miracle cure.
Though for some, like Matheny, the shift was dramatic and lasting.
Very lasting.
Speaking of dramatic, we have to mention the other case study. We talked about the ankle, but the story of Brian is maybe even more biologically confusing.
Brian is the ultimate test case. He had a third-degree burn on his left hand. Now, anyone with medical knowledge knows that third-degree burns involve deep tissue damage.
The epidermis and dermis are destroyed.
Right. And usually that means scarring.
Almost invariably. The body rushes to patch the hole with collagen, which creates scar tissue. It's a panic patch. The body isn't trying to make it pretty. It's trying to seal the breach to prevent infection. It's a rush job.
And Matheny used the automatic self-healing method on Brian.
The exact same protocol. They mapped the submodalities of a simple heal, probably a minor burn or scrape from his past, and applied them to the third-degree burn. And the result was that Brian healed with zero scarring.
Zero scarring on a third-degree burn? That shouldn't be possible.
It implies that scarring isn't necessarily a biological inevitability, but a result of the haste or the panic of the healing process. By coding the injury as easy and automatic, the body perhaps took the time to regenerate normal skin tissue rather than just slapping on a scar patch.
That is a profound idea. It suggests that what we consider physiological limits might actually be stress limits.
That is the key insight. We know stress kills.
Yeah.
We know cortisol shuts down repair mechanisms. So if you can use your mind to turn off the stress alarm to convince your deep brain that a broken leg is as boring as a paper cut.
You are unleashing the full, uninhibited power of your immune system.
It effectively turns laziness into a superpower. You're telling your brain, hey, be lazy about this, don't stress, just do your thing.
Matheny loves that framing. We spend so much energy trying to heal, worrying, researching, bracing ourselves. And Matheny argues that trying is the problem. Automatic is the solution. Get out of your own way. Let the autonomic nervous system do what it evolved to do.
So for the listener who is sitting there with a nagging knee pain or recovering from surgery or maybe just feeling a cold coming on, what is the takeaway here? Should they start analyzing their mental movies?
Absolutely. Be a scientist of your own experience. Sit down, close your eyes, find a memory of a time you healed perfectly. Look at the code. Is it bright? Is it moving? Then look at your current problem. If the codes don't match, you have an opportunity.
And write it down. I think that's a key tip Matheny gives.
Yes. Don't just vaguely think about it. Write down the submodalities. Size, 2 inches, brightness, high, distance, 3 feet. Treat it like you're debugging a computer program. Because in a very real sense, you are.
You are the programmer?
You are.
It really changes the definition of patient. You aren't just waiting for the doctor to fix you. You're the project manager.
You're the project manager and you have access to the controls. You can't necessarily fix the broken bone yourself. You need the surgeon for that. But you can control the environment in which that bone heals.
We've covered a lot of ground today, from baffled surgeons to mental editing suites. As we wrap up this deep dive, what is the one thing sticking with you?
You know, I keep going back to that surgeon looking at the ankle. He was looking at something that shouldn't be possible, according to his textbooks. He was looking at biological impossibility. It makes me want to leave the listener with a provocation. If a simple shift in where we picture an injury in our mind can confuse a surgeon and eliminate scarring, what other facts about our physical limitations are just outdated software codes waiting to be rewritten?
A powerful thought. Maybe it's time we all went in for a little software update. Thanks for diving in with us.
Take care.